again.
You couldn't possibly ignore a man that wears braces that bold, could you? They're very nice braces, John. Very broad. Probably need to be, yeah. I know. Well, I'm sure we've been challenged today, and one of the things John's referring to is, you know, yes, he's heard me speak of deceptions before, but, you know, it's like you can get a really poor Christmas present. You know, what I was talking about is if it's really wrapped up with a really nice paper, a nice bow, and it looks nice, you can get away with quite a cheap present, can't you, if you wrap it up quite well and make it look smart. But, you know, the deceptions that we get today, you know, if they're not wrapped up in the truth, they wouldn't be deceptions, would they? So, you know, just be careful, and that's the thing for us. And he's absolutely right to be reminded of that. we've looked at a number of things, haven't we? And I believe God spoke to us about the time that we're in. And, you know, the church, he wants the church to come into a fullness. A fullness that hitherto we haven't seen with the church. An anointing and a walk and a life that's exemplary. And a church existence without the leaven that is so prevalent amongst Pentecost. And a deeper level of repentance and rightness before God. And, you know, to repent as something is really, that's being birthed properly. And that might speak to a lot of you. You know, the number of times I have people come to me and pray for them because they want to get rid of a sin in their life. You know, I say, look, praying for you doesn't get a sin out of your life. Repentance does it. You see, this is shifting obligation. This is part of the modern gospel that's wrong in your head. I can just go to somebody and they lay his hands on me and it'll be all right. So I don't have to do anything wrong. You have the problem because you haven't repented. You've not met a point with God where you're so disgusted with yourself, you know you need to change. And if you think you can get that by someone putting his hand on you, then that's an error. Actually, in your heart, you need to come to a spot where you need to be sorted out, and repentance is the key. Now, on top of that, there are other deep spiritual problems, and laying on of hands can minister those things to you, and deliverance, and so on and so forth, that we know. But, you know, basic sins, it's there because you want it there, and that's the truth. And start to want it not to be there, because that's no one else's fault, and no one else can make you not want it to be there. Only you and you alone can decide, I've had enough of this, and it's time I moved on for God. And that's something that's in your heart, and not something someone can pray for. You know, too much responsibility, I'll go to the speaker, he'll sort it out. But the speaker's sorting his own problems out, so no point in coming to me, you know. Well, so, this church... Repentant. Where does it go next? Where does it go next? One of the things I've just... this is something I've shared for many years as a philosophy, if you like, or as a word that I've seen in the scriptures to help us understand walking with God. And it's the difference between walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. A lot of people actually are unable to discern the two. That actually, when you get born again, you've got a problem, if you like, because you have a dilemma, because you've got two options in your life. Now, when you're not born again, it's easy. You've just got the flesh. Now, the flesh has a conscience that varies in each one of us and constrains us to do certain things and otherwise, but you've actually only got the flesh. And the life of the flesh, sin is inherent. Adam sinned, it's inherent and it's genetic. Your parents sinned, you will sin, your children will sin. It's just a genetic thing. And that gets passed from the flesh. All flesh sins, all flesh is a waste of time in that sense. We're triggered in it, we're programmed to do it. And the flesh isn't what God's saving, by the way. It came from dust. And you can make the flesh as good as you want. That's what religion is about, by the way. Religion is trying to make your flesh feel as good as possible and for you to be content with the life in the flesh and you make it feel right. If you manage to do it, which you won't, you'll just end up with a more decorative pile of dust than somebody else because the flesh goes back to dust. So don't beat yourself up about how the flesh is going to because actually the flesh needs to get put to death. You will not put the flesh right. You walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, where the church has got this error in teaching, he's trying to walk in the flesh and stop it sinning. You're wasting your time. The Bible said if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. So actually, the secret is not to live in the flesh and stop sinning. That's not possible. It's if you walk in the Spirit, you won't sin. If you walk in the flesh, you will sin. If you walk in the flesh, you can't do anything else but sin. And if you walk in the Spirit, you can't sin. Yeah? Now, the truth is, it's like having a white suit and a black suit, isn't it? You decide which one you're going to put up in the morning. Well, actually, it's every moment of every day. We're faced with decisions and situations where you react in the flesh or you react in the Spirit. Actually, there's no halfway house. If you're in the Spirit, you'll do what's right. If you're in the flesh, you'll do what's wrong. If your life is like my life, it's one and the other battling away. I just want us to understand that what our life is about is progressively moving over so that we live in the Spirit more often than we live in the flesh, and that we begin to grow into the fullness of Christ, where walking in the Spirit is our daily life. That's where we're looking to, and that's what we're going to get to. Yeah, not living in the flesh and stop it sinning. Do you realise, everybody? Yeah, I'm sure you've been trying. You're wasting your time. If anyone's conquered it, put your hand up. But before you do that, you'll be a liar, because the Bible... Oh, no hands. That saves one confrontation. You can miss that part out now. That's two chapters we don't need to read. Fan's blowing my pages over. We're going to touch on it quickly, but again, I'll mention the scriptures so you can read these at home and check up on me, and that I've got it all right and so on. But before we read the scriptures, I wanted to understand that this scenario of when you are not born again, you're not regenerate, you only have the flesh, you're always going to struggle with issues. So don't beat up the people out there who don't know the Lord because they've got a sinful life. You know, it's like smacking a blind man for tripping over a step because he didn't see it. He can't help it. You can't help it. They don't see it. They don't understand. You know, it's if you can't see it, it's not there to you. You know, it's just the flesh doesn't grasp the things of God. Yeah. When you're born again, you've got a problem now, haven't you? Because all of a sudden, you're spiritually made alive. And because you're spiritually made alive, you can now communicate with God. So you've now got two problems going on. The flesh that listens to the world, that's filled with the doctrine of the world and the understanding of the world. And you've got a spirit that's born again, that's now got access to God, to the knowledge of God, the revelation of God and the truth of God. Now, somewhere in between these two, there's a complex thing called the mind. And the mind has to make up its mind whether it walks in the flesh or whether it walks in the Spirit. That's where the battleground is. That's where when you turn your television on, you know, and all the media that's controlled by these forces, there's one thing they're after, your mind, to persuade you that this is the right way or that's the right way. Well, there's nothing on there to tell you this is the right way, and I can tell you there's everything there to tell you that the flesh is the right way. So we've got to be careful what we feed our minds on, careful what we meditate on night and day, because that's pumping the flesh with great ideas. No wonder the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the acceptable will of God, which is in the Spirit. So you see, we've got one walk or the other. There's no such thing as walking in the flesh and getting it right, and there's no such thing as walking in the Spirit and getting it wrong. If we walked in the Spirit, you never just, you know, if we debated doctrines in here now, there wouldn't be two of us agreed on everything. It just wouldn't happen. That's evidence of the flesh. That's evidence of the leaven that is in the church. But actually, there's only one Spirit, isn't there? A gospel, and only one truth.
Yes.
And actually, if we're in, every one of us were in the Spirit, in fact, it would be the opposite way around. You wouldn't disagree on anything. Because you can't, because there's only one truth. There's right and there's wrong. God knows all things. And if you're in the Spirit with Him, you know all things. He knows all things. There's no disagreement. Instant unity. It's actually easy, isn't it, when you think about it? So the problems come from the flesh. Divisions, disappointments, aspirations, ambitions, greed. And why do you think all these wrong gospels are coming? Because they actually tickle and pump up and appeal to the flesh. And actually, the only way you hear God is repentance, put the flesh. The more you put the flesh to death, the more alive in the Spirit, the more we hear God, the more we can walk with God, the more unity. Now, the church of fullness... it's about coming into this fullness. That's where the unity, how wonderful it is when brethren come together in unity and move together in the Lord. Now, with that in mind, we can read some scriptures. Romans 8, for those who live according to the flesh, which is verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, as well as the death being the way of man and the things of man, it also ends up in death. If you walk in the Spirit, that also leads us to life. So we have a difference. That's what repentance is about. It's coming to a point where you recognise, I'm in the flesh. I am going to die. I am going to judge. I am filled with sin. I am going to repent, says the mind, and I'm going to choose a life in the Spirit where God, by his grace, will save me and give me a whole new life. But if only we could put the flesh instantly, we could just walk in the Spirit, how wonderful would that be? But it keeps resurrecting itself, have you noticed? But you know, it keeps resurrecting itself because we keep feeding it, that's why. And we feed it the wrong things. You know, as is probably evident, I eat 3 good meals a day.
Really?
Yes, I know, surprise to most of you. Truth be known, I'm exaggerating because there's a few extra ones thrown in. But then what do we feed the Spirit? Be absolutely honest and truthful in terms of your time and meditation and searching God and searching the Scriptures and praying and waiting on God. Now, I will guarantee you something. The proportion of which you feed the Spirit every day in your life relative to the proportion of which you feed the flesh in your daily life will be the exact proportion to which you walk with God right here and now. Because that's how it works. Some people eat more than I do even, and that shows. And some people eat considerably less than I do, and that shows. But spiritually, what you feed on, it shows. It shows. It shows to the world. And it shows. So then, verse 8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. You haven't even begun. You're all flesh. You've not even started. And he goes on, and if Christ is in you. Now, verse 13, for expedience sake, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And verse 19, picking up, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. We spoke of this last time we were here, and we're talking about the sons of God. We're talking about this church of fullness is actually what the world is waiting for. This wishy-washy church that's weak through sin and unbelief is neither use nor ornament to the world. The world is actually waiting for a church of fullness that's filled with power. The world and the creation is waiting for the manifestation of these sons of God, filled with faith and life and truth and hope. Who are these sons of God? Well, it says those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So actually, the world is waiting for a people who are led by the Spirit of God, because they're the sons of God. Can we fit those two together? So what the world is waiting to see is the people that don't live according to the flesh. That they live according to the Spirit. Because that's the evidence that there is a God. Why does the church not believe in that there is a God, most of them? Because the evidence of that God is not in the church. That's why. But when the church lives according to the Spirit and is led by the Spirit and walks in the Spirit, the evidence that there is a God is clearly manifest in them. And the whole world is waiting for the revealing of those sons of God that are walking in the Spirit. Can we see that? Mm-hmm. It's not deep, that is it? No?
No.
Good. I thought it was, so. You're smarter than me, then. The world is waiting for the revealing of... That's just wonderful, isn't it? The world's waiting. You know, we think we're waiting for this, or we're waiting for the world. It's the world that's waiting, according to the Scriptures. The world is waiting for you. So if you're here waiting, you're on the wrong side of the fence. Because actually the world is waiting for us to put to death the flesh and to move and live by the Spirit of God. The whole world is waiting. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now makes sense. Some people think the Bible contradicts itself. It only does if you're not in the spirit. In the flesh, it throws you all over the place. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, verse 9, probably earlier. As it's written, now, I want you to picture here, you've got two folks going on here. You've got, on the left-hand side, if you like your left hand, this flesh life, this flesh man, calling the black suit, because that's not a nice colour. You know, on the right-hand side here, on your right hand, you've got this man of the spirit in a white suit, you know, angelic. One or the other here. Remember, one is man, and one is spirit. Verse 9. Now this is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You see, the flesh, the eye can't see, and the ear can't hear. In fact, it's not even entered into a man's heart the things that God's prepared for those who love him. Yeah? Verse 10. Other side. But God has revealed it to them, to us, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, it begins to explain it. What man knows the things of man except the Spirit that's in him? In the same way, who knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? Now, some of you have known me a long time. Some of you have only just met me. Those who've known me a long time think they know me. The truth is, there's only me inside really knows me. And, just for your information, I'm even worse than you think. But I only know, well, before now, only I knew that. Now you all know. That'll be on Facebook, yeah, I know. You see, inside of me, I know all that goes on. Every wrestle, every pressure, every torment. Every time I'm beating the floor, weeping before God. Is this right? Is this wrong? I can't speak this out unless I know it's right. Lord, you have to do something in me. You know, how can you pick someone like me? How can you use me? You could go and get 50 people off the street who would be much better at it than mine. What are you bothering with me? All of that, you don't say, I know that. There's only me knows that because there's no one else in the room. So no one really knows me apart from me that's inside me. And only God knows God. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So, here we've got these two guys again. This fella here, quite frankly, knows nothing. The flesh knows nothing. It only knows the things of the world. It knows how to relate to the world, the doctrine of the world. It can read about the things of God and draw a mental, intellectual conclusion, but actually that knows nothing. I know people who've studied this for years, and they've not got a clue what it says. I've debated with many of them. One vicar once said to me, actually, I pinpointed your problem, he said. I said, tell me, because I've been looking for it for years. He said, you actually believe in God. Oh. I was about to debate with him until I realised that actually he was correct. That is my problem. No more was to be said. But he had a doctrine of divinity. Hello? Am I missing something? You see, man cannot grasp the things of God. The flesh knows nothing but the things of the world, including his intellect. Now, the spirit has access to God, and God knows all things. It says here, God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For God, the spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Man doesn't know any things of man except the spirit of man that's in him, and only God knows the things that's in him. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, when we got born again, there's a regeneration. We're now made alive in the spirit. Why? So that we can communicate with God in the spirit. And God, who knows all things, has given us his spirit, it says, so that we might freely know all the things from God. If we stayed in the flesh, we would know nothing of God. Then you've only got religion. Religious observers to make you feel good about your flesh. That's what it's there for. If you're not alive in the spirit, you need that to feel good about yourself. You're still lost, but at least you'll feel good about it when you die and judged. The truth sets you free and gives you eternal life. Amen. Now, when you actually read the scriptures here, and there's many of them, it goes on as far as to say here, verse 14, But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So the man of the flesh on this side, he cannot hear God. He cannot know God. He can't even receive the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, they're foolishness to him. Unless they're proven, even then he has a problem with it. You imagine being a godly man many, many years ago. You had to believe the world was round. Well, didn't you? Would believe that. You'd fall off the bottom, wouldn't you? Everyone knows the world is flat. I'm talking about us people as the doctrine of the world in the flesh would have spoken many, many years ago. But to be a godly man, you have to accept that God holds the circle of the world in his hands. You had a problem. You think, how could you be a godly man and think the world's round? Idiots would know. You'd drop off the bottom. Can't be people on the top. But that's what you have to be. Now, we've flown round it. We realise it's round. The scientists think they're smart because the Bible said it was round in the very first place. You see, the natural man cannot receive the things of God until it's proven to him. And even then, it's only in his intellect. It's not in his heart. You see, when Jesus said, you've got to be born again, and Nicodemus says, hang on a minute, how can a grown man be born again? So he said, let me explain something. Now watch the picture here. Those on the tape can't get this. I'm stepping to the left. That which is flesh, he said. To the right, that which is spirit. Marvel not, I say to you, you have to be born again. Because the flesh can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. The foolishness to it. The flesh can't receive it. The flesh was born of your human father, and therefore his works you do. So you've now got to be born again of your heavenly father, who will give you a new life in the spirit. You are made alive in Christ, so a new being is formed. Now this spiritual being can hear God, communicate with God. God actually, by his spirit, can reveal all things, and that's why he gives us of his spirit, to reveal all things to us. So that we can actually tap into his resource and his knowledge. Now, there's a division there. If you're not born again, you don't have access to any of this. None of it. And if you're a Christian and you decide to walk in the flesh, you still don't get access to it because the flesh doesn't get it. So you've got to walk in the spirit to have access to God. Can we see what the Lord is saying here? Now, in all of these things, that's why you can go right back to Isaiah 55 and all these other scriptures. David said, I was born in sin. I was conceived in sin. In my mother's womb I had sin, and I've come out and I've popped out and now I'm doing nothing but sinning. Who's going to, what the state I'm in? And the Lord, there's a way that seems right to a man, a flesh, but what does it end up? It ends up being the way of death. All the scriptures throughout the Old Covenant are teaching this. Jesus, even prophetically speaking, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts aren't your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. See, the spiritual route and the spiritual way is completely opposed diametrically to the way of the flesh. That's the way that it is. So then, for you and I as God's people, how do we know if we're walking in the spirit, or how do we know if we're walking in the flesh? Well, when we're born again, we've now got two options, as I say. And what Paul does in the teaching of Galatians, he said, well, look, let me give you a list of items. If you're walking in the flesh, these are the things you'll be doing. If you're walking in the spirit, these are the things you'll be doing. Now you'll be able to identify whether you're walking in the flesh or in the spirit. And therefore, if you're walking in the spirit, you can rejoice. If you're walking in the flesh, then you need to repent and get it put right and get into walking in the spirit so you can freely receive the things of God. So, Galatians chapter 5 here, verse 16. Now we know what we're talking about. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, walking in the flesh and trying to stop doing it, you're wasting your time. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you wish. The only reason you can't do the things for God you wish to do is because you live in the flesh. And the flesh cannot do those things. They're contrary to one another. Is that clear? Are we still not deep? I'm very impressed. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's an interesting one. You see, when you're in the flesh, you're conscious of legal observance to religious things. Because that's what the flesh does. to try and make itself feel right. Once you get into the Spirit, you're not under the law, because the law, the Spirit doesn't sin. You're freed from the law, Paul says, because actually there's no law required for the spiritual man, because he walks in Christ. So he actually fulfills the law of righteousness. Goes on here. Now, these will ring a bell, I'm sure, with one or two of you, if not all. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. This tells you now whether you're in the flesh or otherwise. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. This just describes the gospel we're hearing, quite frankly, most of these. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This is important. Of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, that's this fellow well and truly told, isn't it? Yeah? On the left. The guy in the black suit. He's got it. Big problems. But in the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Never a problem, that one. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What I believe the Church of Fullness is about is a people who, through the anointing of God, are enabled by His grace and by the supply of His Spirit, are able to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Amen. And the world is waiting for that. The world is waiting to see such a people. The world is waiting for these manifest sons who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, I would like to deal with one issue that explains this scripture, because I have heard the weirdest sermons preached from this scripture that you would not believe, but I would just feel that the Spirit of God wants to explain this, because there's another gospel out there called the perfectionist doctrine. If you're not perfect, you're in big problems. And actually, just to let you know where they get their verses from and the errors of it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Absolutely true. Which one is it talking about? The flesh? No. You see, the flesh is born of my human father, that's why I sin. And I lust, and all those other things that come. And desire, and I covet, and all those things are in this body of man. That's from there. Now this is born again of the seed of God. Because it's born of God, the spiritual man is made alive. Because the seed of God abides in it, it can't sin. You see? So there's no contradiction in scriptures here. Whatsoever is born of God cannot sin. My flesh was not born of God. It was born of my human father and my human mother. Which is why I need to get born again. Because if I don't get born again, I've got a problem. I've only got the one that was born from my mother and my father. And that can't do anything but sin. So I needed to get born again. But this time it wasn't my father's seed implanted in my mother's womb. It was my heavenly father's seed planted in this body to give a new life. And that life cannot sin. Because the seed of God abides in it. So now I've got two natures. One that cannot do righteousness and cannot do what's right. And one that cannot sin. So you see, there is no shade of grey. Which is why the Bible is so uncompromising. If you walk in the flesh, you'll die. If you walk in the Spirit, you live. Marvel not, we've got to be born again. Because if you're not born again, there's no compromise there. You're not born again, you're not going to heaven. If you're not born again, sin isn't dealt with. And if you think you're born again, but you're going to live your entire life in the flesh, you need to read some scriptures and get a grip of the whole gospel that talks about repentance, otherwise the wrath of God abides on you, because you're even worse, because you put the Son of God to open shame and display him And for that place, you get to a point where there's not even a chance of repentance. Read it, Hebrews. So can we see the kind of people here that the world is waiting for are a people who recognise through humility, through afflicting the soul, through coming before God, hang on a minute here, I've got a flesh that can do nothing else but sin, and I've got a spirit that can do nothing else but be righteous. And I'm going to walk, and march daily, is my life, you know, is it 90% in the flesh, 10% in the spirit? Is it 80-20, 50-50? You know, that's how it goes, isn't it? If you grow into Christ. You come into the fullness of Christ. We get transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we start to choose the things of the spirit more regularly and more competent, and we're more readily, and we become spiritual men who have a spiritual walk. What's the benefit of this? The Holy Spirit has been given to you that only the Spirit can communicate with. Actually, the flesh cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. We've just read that. Now, you can read even in the previous chapters, which is where this comes from, verse 20 of chapter 2, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Well, that's not to say, how smart am I? If you walk in the Spirit, you have an anointing from God. And that anointing brings the knowledge of God. Actually, the resource to know all things is actually at your disposal. It even goes on, verse 27. You know, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. You see, man can't teach you. If you've picked up anything today, it's because through the fellowship and through the word, you've been taking one measure deeper into the spirit and less into the flesh. And in that moment of the spirit, the Holy Spirit which abides in you and the anointing that comes upon you is within you, illuminating and revealing a truth. Now, if you're in the flesh, you'll think, no, I don't do all this repentance business. I'm not quite sure. You know, because the other gospel is a very easy gospel for you because it actually tickles the flesh. You listen to the errors of the gospel. When Jesus warns us about this age, all the deceptions, listen to it all. It appeals to the flesh. It makes the flesh feel good about itself. Either religiously or parting an excuse for doing something wrong. But the spiritual man knows that that is wrong. And he knows it needs to get dealt with. And he knows he has to, like Paul, learn to die daily. What did Paul say? What is flesh? He said, what I want to do, I end up not going doing it. Romans 7. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing those. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Can you see how it all makes sense now? You see, we think ourselves as one person, but we're two. We are flesh and we're spirit because we've been born again. And you're walking one or the other. One is perfect, one is full of sin. You're not three quarters sin, quarter righteousness. You're one or the other. You see, are we deep yet or are we still getting there? No, not deep. I'm getting more impressed by the minute. Whenever you get a doctrine, you'll find it sits well with all the scriptures right from the very beginning. I noticed some scriptures down here. When Jesus, John 14 said, now when the Helper has come, he will teach you all things and he will bring to your remembrance all the former things that have been said. That's the work of the Spirit. Later on in John 16, and he will guide you into all truth. It's his work. If you get into the Spirit, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's always in the Spirit. Grab him now, quick, before he gets back in the flesh. Show him something, reveal him something, use him, you know, whatever. It won't last for long. But you know, let's live there. Let's walk there. Let's. That's the church of fullness. That's what the world is waiting to see. The world is waiting to see a people who will rise up from a life of flesh and live according to the Spirit of God. The world is waiting. So don't think you're waiting for the world. The world is, when the world sees that, the world will take notice. The world will take notice. Jesus said, that which is flesh is flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. You know, he said, the words that I speak to you are words of spirit and words of life. That's why they said, what on earth are you going on about? Because they were in the flesh. The Pharisees didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Because he said, the words I speak to you are words of life and words of spirit. Now, you actually notice that when Jesus said to Peter, didn't he, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say you're Elijah, some a great prophet, some this, that, or the other. Who do you say I am?
Christ.
You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, well, blessed are you, Simon Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. How did he know? Because the flesh and blood can't receive truth. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he knew Peter was starting to engage spiritually. Because only the Father could show that to him. And so for that reason, he says, you're blessed. Now, we read the other scriptures, what we read here. It says, now, no scripture or no prophecy came in the past by any private interpretation, not by any man of the flesh, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. You see the difference? So in other words, for someone to have prophesied, only the anointing of God and the Spirit must have come and spoken through them. But we're in a better covenant. We've been made alive in the Spirit, and the anointing can come and show us all things. Not just a revelation at the moment and the Spirit of God speaking through a man. Now the Spirit can engage with our spirit, and Christ can live his life through us, and we have access to all things. But not what when the flesh is walking and the flesh is alive. It's why Paul said, for this reason I die daily. Because he wanted this. He desired it with all of his heart. And he was willing to be beaten to obtain this. He was willing to be whipped to obtain this. He was willing to be stoned to obtain this. He had understood what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes and discovers a marvellous pearl. And in fact, he goes and sells everything he's got to obtain this. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds treasure in a field. So he goes and sells everything he has to obtain. Paul realised this pearl of great price. This walk in the Spirit was so wonderful and so glorious. It had access to God. He was willing to pay the price, the cost of repentance and death to self to obtain this walk of spiritually hearing the Lord. I think that's wonderful. John chapter 4. We'll probably finish with this one maybe. And have a shorter time to reflect while the sun, and we've had lunch and so on. But I could share on this a lot because it's something that's very dear to my heart and I've understood for many years. But I get strange frowns and odd looks. But you know, this is the time. This is the time when God is bringing his people into, I believe, a revelation of how to walk in the Spirit. You see, we've talked about this church of fullness. If you're born right through repentance and you begin to walk right in the Spirit, you're going to enter into something, which is the next session. That's just in case you're planning going home early. John 4:23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him, not in the flesh. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What has man done? Man has built temples, built priesthoods, built orders, built denominations, built a religious thing that the flesh can go to and perform an order and do something or go through something so that he feels he's pleasing God and it makes his flesh feel good about himself. But actually, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You have to be born again. And you have to enter into the Spirit of God and have access to God. And let the Holy Spirit anoint you. And when you are anointed of God, you're a changed man. And when God anoints you, that anointing abides and changes you. And you have access to that anointing because that anointing teaches you. And that anointing sticks. Let me tell you, the anointing of God, if it's a true anointing, it sticks. You know, I think of Elijah. You know, they were burying a man, weren't they? In Kings, they were burying a man. And all of a sudden, they saw some bandits. And they thought, hang on a minute, stick him down this hole quickly. Shoved him down the hole. It was Elijah's tomb. His bones touched Elijah's bones. And he stood up alive. That's an anointing. There's folks pretending about and playing around with Pentecost today. They couldn't do that if they were alive four times over. Elijah managed it dead. That's the anointing. You see where we're coming from?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was under the old covenant. We're missing it. And it, you know, you read stories like that, you think, goodness me, what state's the church in? Elijah dead was more use than we are alive. And we've got the new covenant established on better promises. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. You know, God did a study a while ago. I've never spoken it out yet about the anointing. And there's something that is peculiar when God anoints a man for a work, whatever that work might be. The anointing of God is most extraordinary. It changes a man. It knows no bounds, it knows no limits, because it's of the Spirit of God. And it equips him to hear God and know God and walk with God. And odd individuals have touched this, but do you know what's different at the end of the age? It's the church, not an individual.
Yeah, that's right.
The church. The world is waiting to see this manifestation of these sons of God that come up like this. And that when they arrest you and set you in jail, then you'll understand what it says, take no thought of what you will say, for the Spirit will give you in that hour what you need to speak. Because you'll be in the Spirit, not the flesh. God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in the Spirit. So we've learned two things today from understanding the feast and where we are in the time that we need to come into fullness. That to come into that fullness, there's two things we need to do. Number one is to repent. Because that starts a process of putting the flesh to death. Then we need to walk in the Spirit and learn how to continue to put that flesh to death and to die daily. So we walk in the Spirit and you will fulfill the things of God, the calling of God, the work of God. And there will be a cost. They'll throw stones and sticks and you might get beaten. This is not a glory ride. This is not a pleasure trip. This is cost. The reward. Paul said, on that day, you know, after all the persecutions over, and we cast our crowns before him. You know, the lovely hymn writers had little glimpses of that glory day. For us, it may just be walking in white, and heaven saying, who are these? And the Lord declares, these are the ones who've come through the great tribulation. We might just be that generation. The final session, I hope with all my heart that you can take hold of, because the next session, if you take hold of this, I believe with my heart will transform the church from what it is right now into what we're talking about. So if you have time to stay, I believe it is a vital key message, one that does no small amount of stirring up within the system and within hearts, but it, I believe, is just sort of a poignant message for now. So I trust you stay. Thank you.
Did I fall asleep?
Pardon?
Did I fall asleep? Or did you say we were going to touch on...